The views and opinions of this program are those of the hosts, guests, and callers. There is substantial risk of loss in trading futures and options, which you should carefully consider prior to trading.
Bringing you the ag information you need, this is Market Talk, produced by the American Ag Radio Network. Now, here's your host, Jesse Allen.
Well, we saw the soy complex under pressure on the day Tuesday. Firmness in corn and wheat and good follow-through in the cattle markets, while we also watched severe weather across parts of the corn belt on the day Tuesday. Thanks for joining us here on Market Talk. Great to have you along for the conversation. I'm your host, Jesse Allen. Got a lot to talk about here today in an otherwise slow market day. There were a few things of note. That soy complex again under pressure, maybe some weight from that record NOPA crush number we got on Monday. Just felt like the path of least resistance was to the downside with some double-digit losses in front-month beans. Bit of pressure in meal and oil. Really, soybeans sinking to fresh 40-day lows on Tuesday. Soybean oil sinking to a new low as well, a new one-month low there. So that was all kind of weighing on the soy complex overall on the day Tuesday. We did get U.S. planting numbers out, crop progress numbers Monday afternoon. Soybean planting did advance a little more than we thought this week, 3% versus 1% on average. So maybe all that kind of combined to give us a little bit of pressure in the soy complex, while corn and wheat relatively firm on the session. Not much happening there on the day. Planting progress pretty much in line with expectations for the corn side. Wheat ratings looking pretty good. Went down a percentage point on the winter wheat crop on Monday's report. Overall, things, again, pretty quiet. Cattle, though, good follow-through day in the cattle market. We needed to see that. We wanted to see that after some good strength on Monday. So it was nice to get a good day on cattle on Tuesday. And hogs, too, maybe finding a little bit of technical support for this recent move to the downside. So maybe setting a new bottom there. Plenty to take a look at. We're going to talk about it. We're going to get some risk management thoughts coming up here on the show today. Jacob Burks with AgMarket.net. He is our guest analyst. He's going to join us after the bottom of the hour to discuss and share his thoughts in the market trade. So looking forward to talking with Jacob. It's been a few weeks since we've been able to chat with him, so we'll get him in the hot seat here just a little bit. Also coming up at segment two today, artificial intelligence, AI. It's exploding around the world, and the use of AI on the farm is even becoming more of a hot topic. Just about a year ago, FBN, Farmers Business Network, released their AI advisor, Norm. We're going to learn more about what the first year of Norm has looked like and talk the use of AI on the farm in general. Kit Barron with FBN is going to join us coming up here in segment two today. That should be a good discussion. Looking forward to that here in just a little bit. First up, though, let's get some thoughts on the markets. Some of this mixed to lower activity in the grains led by the soy complex and a good follow-through day in the cattle complex also on Tuesday. Arlen Suderman, chief commodities economist at Stone X. I talked to him around midday Tuesday, got his thoughts on the market action. Here is that commentary with Arlen, starting with his thoughts in the grain and oilseed trade.
We're seeing wheat try to bounce here a little bit. It's more consolidation than anything else. We've seen Russian wheat prices kind of stabilize, but not really sustain a move higher. So that kind of keeps a lid on any type of rallies. Right now, we've got the new harvest, Northern Hemisphere harvest upon us pretty quick. So that's also keeping a lid on prices. Strong dollar creating some headwinds today. The dollar put in new five-month highs. We're trading up in that level now as we speak. That's creating kind of some headwinds. We do have some geopolitical risks that are increasing. Israel has said they definitely will respond to the barrage of missiles and drones that flew at them from Iran over the weekend. Their war cabinet is currently meeting to discuss what that response should be. That has markets very nervous. So we're seeing some headwinds come from the outside markets as well. So overall drifting, you look at soybeans, new 40-day lows right now as we continue to go lower. And it really comes down to the fact that U.S. beans are just not competitively priced on the world market when you have a lot of cheap soybeans in Brazil. The strength of the U.S. dollar and the weakness of the Brazilian real just really amplifying that advantage that Brazil has right now on the global market.
Now, on the flip side, over in the protein sector, I'm happy to see what looks to be some good follow-through in the cattle futures here today, and a little bit of strength in hogs as well, maybe some spillover from the cattle side. What's your thoughts on the proteins today, Harlan?
Yeah, absolutely, and we obviously had a big down day on Friday. We tried to recover yesterday, doing so again today with some follow-through buying there. The 50-day moving average seems to be a problem right now for the June contract, trying to push above it. But at least we're seeing some stability overall. We've seen some good stability in the product market as we've got the choice cuts back over $300 once again. We've started to slow the chain speeds down in order to do that. But we're seeing less weakness, shall we say, in the cash market than what was feared by the market last week overall. March placements overall down 8%. March marketing's down 11%. April 1 feed numbers, on feed numbers up 2% versus last year. That's the expectations going into Friday's cattle on feed report.
And once again, good thoughts there with Arlen Suderman, Chief Commodities Economist at StoneX, joined us for our midday commentary on the day Tuesday. As we look at the crop progress numbers again, we saw pretty good overall numbers on the latest crop progress report. On the corn side, we got 6% planted nationwide as of Sunday. Soybeans, 3% planted as of Sunday. On the wheat side, spring wheat planting was 7% planted as of Sunday, while the winter wheat crop was good to excellent rating, off a percentage point to 55%. And the poor to very poor was up 1% at 13% as of Sunday. Also watching this week's weather, working through the country with severe weather and parts of the Corn Belt here early this week, a wide area of heavy rain showers and thunderstorms. So plenty to watch with that. Probably slowing down field work here for a couple of days across much of the central Corn Belt here, but it will be much needed moisture. So that is the one, you know, give or take here. We don't necessarily want to slow down planting, but we need the moisture to help us set up for a good spring and good summer season. So we still have time on the calendar. That's the thing. We can deal with getting some good moisture into some of those dry areas of the Corn Belt here this week. We're just going to keep our eyes on the weather forecast, make sure the severe weather stays as minimal as it possibly can. All right, coming up next here on Market Talk. Again, we're going to talk more on the markets here in just a little bit. After the bottom of the hour, we'll talk with Jacob Burks from AgMarket.net, get his thoughts on the trade action that we got on a Tuesday. But coming up next, we're going to talk artificial intelligence and the use of AI on and around the farm and ranch. Kit Barron with FBN is going to join us as it is 1 year now of them introducing their AI Ag Advisor Norm. We're going to learn more about how things have gone in the first year of using Norm on their website and more, and helping farmers and ranchers make decisions. And we're going to talk just the use of artificial intelligence in general on the farm and ranch. We'll get to that conversation coming up next with Kit Barron from FBN. Back with more Market Talk right after this.
Make sure to subscribe to the Market Talk YouTube channel. You can watch our latest interviews with top market analysts in the country, find bonus content, and much more. It's easy. Just go to youtube.com/@MarketTalkAg and hit the subscribe button. Or you can search for Market Talk Ag on YouTube.
If you miss an episode of Market Talk, you can listen back to the show anytime. Just search for Market Talk on your podcast platform of choice, and you can hear past episodes of the program on demand.
Keeping you informed with the latest market information for your operation. This is Market Talk. Now, back to Jesse Allen.
Well, 1 year ago, FBN introduced their AI advisor, Norm, for farmers and ranchers to utilize on their operations. And what have we learned in 1 year of using AI on the farm? We're going to talk about that more here today on the program. Joining us for a conversation, Kit Barron with FBN is with us. And Kit, thanks for the time. Appreciate you being here. Hope you're doing well.
I sure am, Jesse. Thanks so much for having me. Always excited to talk about what we're doing with Norm over at FBN.
Well, and this is really cool stuff. And I was—I know I've talked with folks over at FBN, like Charles Barron, for instance, when you guys first launched Norm. And hard to think now, it's been a year since you guys launched this new AI tool for farmers and ranchers. So let's just kind of start there. Let's recap, you know, 1 year of Norm. What have you guys learned by using Norm and more here for farmers and ranchers at FBN?
Well, if you all remember, you know, about a year and a half ago, GPT came out with their ChatGPT tool and really took the world by storm. And there were a lot of novelty cases in the early days. And we wanted to really understand what this exciting new technology could do for farmers. And so we were quick to release a version of GPT that we call Norm after Dr. Norman Borlaug, pioneer of wheat breeding technology. And launched, as you said, about a year ago. In those early days, we had trained Norm on a variety of agronomic data, pretty general data to start out with. But over the months, we started seeing the types of questions that farmers were asking really shift. So people were asking a lot about weather during planting, a lot about how to treat certain pests and disease and deal with different types of weed pressure on the field. Folks were asking about planting dates and harvest dates and dry down. And so as we learned from the types of questions farmers were asking, we've been adding new capabilities. So now Norm knows how to knows the weather in your area, knows the soil moisture content and average soil temperature in your county. Norm can even do recommendations on nitrogen programs. So we're really taking a cue from the farmer users. And really trying to invest in the types of questions that they're most interested in getting AI support from.
Well, and it's really interesting how, you know, just this explosion of AI, artificial intelligence, is really making noise throughout our entire world, not just in agriculture, but to your point, farmers, you know, asking different questions like that. Let's think about this in terms of, you know, in 1 year's time, how AI is being used on the farm. Is a lot of it more just question-based? Is that what you guys are seeing? Or are there other applications of AI on the farm, Kit?
Well, one of the things that we've been really excited to release recently is a real step change in the quality of the answers we're getting from the AI. And for anybody that's ever purchased or mixed or applied crop protection, you know there's a tremendous amount of information stored in these product labels. These are 70, 80 page documents in some cases that tell you how much product to apply, how to mix it, when to spray it, how to spray it, what it can be mixed with, what it can't be mixed with, et cetera, et cetera. And these documents are really hard to go through. And so we just 2 weeks ago launched an update on Norm that allows farmers to ask structured or any kind of question about product labels. And Norm's doing a fantastic job of providing accurate responses. So that, again, is, to your point, very much question and answer related. Where we see this going is actually having Norm do more of the question asking. So one of the things that the more information Norm has about a farmer's operation, the better the recommendations. And so you can, you know, knowing kind of where the farm is based, what they're growing, perhaps what the rotation is, what time of the year, you know, what the crop status is, what are some of the practices they used, you know, are they tilling, are they doing strip till, are they irrigated? But it's a lot for a farmer to have to put all that information in up front. And so we're working on having an interactive series of questions that Norm will kind of get the information he needs first, and then provide the kind of best possible answer in return. So actually, Norm is going to be doing more of the question asking than before.
Now, thinking about this, as you guys looked through a lot of the data and more and looked to shape Norm and formulate Norm as an AI advisor, what's maybe a few of the most unique things that farmers have asked Norm. Can you maybe share any of those highlights for us here, kid? I'm sure lots of different questions. Has there been anything that stood out as very unique in a year's time?
Well, you know, I get most excited about kind of high quality agronomy questions and answers. You know, when people are asking, like, how do we treat, you know, glyphosate resistant water hemp, you know, on my cornfield in eastern Iowa. That's the kind of question when Norm hits that right, I'm very excited. Or give me a step-by-step instructions for mixing S-metallic chlorine in the sprayer. So those are the ones that I find kind of most interesting from a development perspective. But that said, there's some really novel questions that people are asking. We've had people ask for poems about their farm. You've asked folks, people didn't ask Norm to tell them a joke. We actually even had somebody ask Norm to help him write his wedding vows. Not sure he ever used them, but so it's always interesting to see what people ask. But, you know, what we really see is a spike kind of towards the evenings. You can tell people if, you know, maybe their agronomist has gone to bed or something, and they got some after hours questions about a product that they're purchasing on the FBN website and want to make sure they're making the right confident decision. They've got the right application rates. They understand tank mixes, things like that. And that's really where Norm is excelling today.
What about the future? Let's think about this now. Yeah. As you guys have a year with Norm here being used as an AI advisor, a lot of great questions, some folks having fun using Norm, as you alluded to there, Kit. What's the future look like here in terms of using AI on the farm, on the ranch, using an AI, you know, advisor such as Norm, things like that? I mean, what does this future really look like? I would have to think it's kind of limitless at this point, is it?
It's really exciting to think about you know, how fast this space is moving. And we're trying to stay on top of all the advances, and we're testing out all the different models. But a couple of the ideas that we've been kind of contemplating that could come down the road are, you know, imagine having opening up Norm to a camera. And, you know, is this tar spot? Is this, you know, frog eye leaf spot? Is this, you know, gray leaf spot? And having Norm not only diagnose what the issue is, and then recommend a solution based on what the camera is seeing in the field. So that's kind of one application that we get excited about, is that combination of the visual AI with the agronomic recommendation engine. Another thing that we've recently been experimenting with and just rolled out to our sales team is SMS Norms. And this doesn't sound like a big deal, but the ability to when you're in your truck, being able to talk on an SMS and have a conversation with your agronomic advisor while you're driving around, or maybe in the cab of your tractor, that's pretty exciting as well. So there's a kind of voice aspect as well. And then finally, you know, right now it's about questions and answers, but you can imagine, and your FBN is, you know, working with growers to provide agronomic recommendations for almost a decade now. You can imagine having kind of personalized agronomic plans down the road, where the AI is really helping you, you know, based on what your goals are, kind of optimize a full suite, you know, soup to nuts agronomic plan. And so that might be something that we see down the road. Certainly not today, and not probably not tomorrow, but a couple of years from now, I think it's not a stretch to see a world where you could have a kind of you know, high quality, personalized AI powered agronomic recommendation on inputs for your operation.
I think at the end of the day, Kit, it all comes down to, you know, things like AI on the farm, et cetera, having different tools in the toolbox for our farmers and ranchers to make them more efficient on the farm. I think that's one of the big things we're watching here, isn't it?
That's exactly right. I mean, you know, I think a lot about all of the areas of expertise that a farmer or rancher needs to have today to be successful. You know, you've got to be an expert on chemistry and biology and mechanics and grain markets and weather and soil. It is endless, the number of areas of farm, you know, of expertise that farming and ranching touch. And so, you know, our goal here is to have a really useful resource that helps farmers and ranchers do research, make confident decisions, and make sure they're you know, using their time as efficiently as possible, making the best choices for their farm and their family.
Kit, before we let you go, anything final you'd want to share or reiterate for folks here as we're thinking about Norm and the use of AI on the farm, et cetera? Anything else final you'd want to add today?
I just say, you know, we're in an unprecedented stage of this technology. We've been hearing about AI for decades now, but it really seems to be here. And our mission here at FBN is to help find new ways for making this exciting new tool accessible, easy to use, and reliable on the farm. So I really appreciate all the folks who've been testing Norm out and giving us feedback. And encourage your listeners to give it a shot.
Well, you can learn more at fbn.com/Norm. Kit Barron with FBN. Thanks so much for joining us today. Appreciate it.
Thanks so much for having me, Jesse.
All right, up next, markets with Jacob Burks from agmarket.net here on Market Talk.
Make sure to subscribe to the Market Talk YouTube channel. You can watch our latest interviews with top market analysts in the country, find bonus content, and much more. It's easy. Just go to youtube.com/@markettalkegg and hit the subscribe button. Or you can search for Market Talk Egg on YouTube.
If you miss an episode of Market Talk, you can listen back to the show anytime. Just search for Market Talk on your podcast platform of choice, and you can hear past episodes of the program on demand.
The views and opinions of this program are those of the hosts, guests, and callers. There is substantial risk of loss in trading futures and options, which you should carefully consider prior to trading.
Market information that matters to you on Market Talk. Now, back to Jesse Allen.
And welcome back to Market Talk. Thanks for sticking with us here on the program today. Jesse Allen back with you. Let's take a look at some of the closing numbers here real quick before we get to Jacob Burks with agmarket.net. May corn was down a half penny on Tuesday, 431. December new crop corn, 2 lower, 467 and a quarter. May soybeans, 13 and a quarter lower at 1145. November beans down 8 3/4, 1158 and a half. Soybean meal, May, 320 a ton lower, 335.30, with May beet oil down 56 points, 44.91. Chicago wheat, May, 2 lower, 549 and 3/4. July down 2 3/4, 564 and 3/4. December down 4 1/4, 603. Kansas City wheat, July 2 1/4 higher, 583. December up 1 3/4, 612 and a half. Spring wheat, July 1 higher at 645. And December spring wheat up 2 1/2 at 673. May oats down 11 3/4, 346. Canola was 5-7 lower on the day. We look over at cotton. Cotton for May down 164 points, 81.29. July cotton down 206 points at 83.09. Livestock trade real quick. Good day in cattle. April live cattle up 120, 181.50. June up 190, 175.72. April feeders up 80, 240.35. May feeder cattle up 297, 240.97. Hogs, May 40 higher, 94.72. June hogs up 37, 102.82 on Tuesday. All right, joining us now here on Market Talk as we had pressure at the soy complex, but a good day in cattle, quarter wheat relatively firm. Jacob Burks with agmarket.net. Jacob, welcome back to the show. Feels like market's kind of quiet on Tuesday.
I think there was a lot of anticipation and maybe some fingers crossed going through the weekend that we're going to get some volatility with just some unknown news. I mean, anytime you talk about major conflicts overseas, that how's that going to affect the crude oil? How's that going to affect our economic stance, geopolitical problems, all this good stuff? And I think there was a little angst coming into the week, and then all of a sudden it's been just kind of a dud. And whether it's whether you're looking at higher price movement, lower price movement, there just hasn't been a whole lot. The beans have taken a pretty good shot here for several different reasons. But I think the strength that you've seen for wheat and corn to be resilient in the midst of that, I think does give you a little bit of optimism.
Well, and thinking about that too, let's focus on the soybeans a little bit here. 40 day lows in beans, I think a 1 month low in bean oil near it on Tuesday. We're getting good rain in the Corn Belt. We're getting some severe weather too, but I wonder if maybe some of that rain was part of the problem in the soy complex, plus that strong NOPA crush number we got Monday. I mean, I'd talk about some of those things. Were those some of the factors you think kind of led to this soy complex breaking a bit here Tuesday?
Yeah, I think if we don't see problems domestically with production, we're not going to get much of a bounce, period. And I think that all leads into the fact that, yes, we had record NOPA crush numbers, but that eventually led into the fact that hang on, what are we going to do from here forward in crush whenever you see Argentina having basically a double crop what they had last year? And I think that even though we saw the record crush, I think it's the anticipation of, can we meet that 185 million ton number to put us where the USDA has us for what we should be crushing? The answer is probably yes. We probably can reach that number, probably will reach that number. But that means we have ample supplies. And what does that do for price? And what does, you know, how's that going to look on that crush number unless the soybeans come down? So those are the things that we have to look at. From the soybean, you know, look at the byproducts there. Look at the complex. I mean, it's not strong at all. I think it was a month low. I think it was 6 week lows in the oil. And you're hearing about all this expansion. You're seeing this expansion come on. You're talking about a lot of it coming on this month actually. And you know, they didn't build those plants to leave them idle. So you need some renewable diesel demand in a very strong way, or you're going to need to see some production. Some planting scares at least.
I'm going to hypothesize here a little bit, and I'll see what you think about this, Jacob.
Let's do it. Let's play a game.
Yeah, let's play a game here. Has corn found its value? As I feel like corn holding firm here in this window makes me feel like that, barring something crazy, we maybe found our value point for corn here in the short term. What do you think?
Well, man, that's I appreciate you putting me on the spot here to answer that question, because that's good. That's a good thought. You typically look at, okay, how are end users coming in to buy the corn here? Has this been a big buy? And I think you found several different times throughout this pullback that you have seen that. You've seen commercials, end users come in and say, hey, you know, depending on how they've hedged their sell or what their usage does this number work? And unfortunately, I don't know that from the old crop standpoint, I don't know that that's the fact. They're not actually aggressively coming out to buy that. I don't know that we don't have to come down a little bit more. Sometimes a falling market shakes more corn loose for them have to have the availability to buy. We're seeing strong basis, but nothing that's going to that's out there running, chasing some of that corn that's locked up in the bin right now, especially in this May timeframe. So I think that can happen. And if that starts to happen, then I think you're probably right. We did find that plateau, that level that corn can be at safely.
Okay. All right. Well, I appreciate you taking that question from me, Jacob. I got to make this conversation interesting to some degree here today.
I get. I'm over my new stage now. I'm into the real stuff, right?
So. Let's talk wheat. Kansas City wheat held positive. I guess another thing I'll kind of throw with that conversation here is, can wheat be our upside leader maybe in these markets potentially? I mean, what's your thoughts on this whole wheat complex right now, Jacob?
Can they? Yeah. I mean, because the right now they're the only thing that really has a trending chart that looks decent. So that's what their job is right now. I mean, you've seen strong exports all year long out of the soft red. We've struggled in the hard red wheat, which we only had a decent, growing season last year. We ticked lower 1 point in the, good to excellent category on Monday, mostly because of some of the dryness that we've seen over in the Plains area. But really, that's we're going to blame this 2 cent higher day on that. I don't know. I think that you're going to have to see some type of fear. I mean, we'll kill the wheat crop once or twice to get some type of a bounce. But I think that we can find some stability in that. Right now, the wheat market is what is being stable. Now we've beat that up so hard so fast throughout the year. That maybe that wheat market's kind of finding its value right now as well.
All right. Risk management wise, a lot of guys getting busy in the field. I know the rain's probably going to slow them down here for a couple of days, but in the grand scheme of things, with all the geopolitical risk out there and more, we talk about this a lot, Jacob, but risk management wise, this isn't a time to get complacent. Don't hang the phone up and ignore it. You're going to be busy, but also you got to keep your thumb on what's going on in these markets on the grain side, right?
Yeah. And you don't be complacent, but hopefully we've got enough stuff in place that we don't have to overtrade this, right? So the fact that we're going through this seasonal time where we can have some upward ticks, and like I said, I was talking before about old crop is, while you're out there planting, you're not delivering corn. You're not delivering beans. So do we see some type of uptick in basis? Do the processors need to come out and buy and get a little bit more aggressive? So from that standpoint, yeah, you don't want to stay complacent at all. You want to keep your, you know, ear to the ground, place orders ahead of these times. So that way, if something does spark or something does happen, you have that in place. Hopefully you have some downside risk management in place already. If you don't, you're still looking at a 467 new crop price right now. Okay, not the end of the world. Something that you can look at short term and look at some of these short term, short dated options. What it was short dated means is you're using the December futures price, but you're shortening up the time period. So therefore, it decreases the cost of what you have in place. I think some of those strategies right there will get you through planting. I think it'll allow you to push the time frame out long enough to where we're going to see, hey, you can get with an August option, you can get past that June 30th planting date. What actually did we get in the ground? What has happened with the South American crop? Did they get the safrinha crop planted well enough? So I guess that would be my main focus. If you don't have those floors in place, use some of these short-term options at least to get that in there to give you just some comfort while you're planting.
Another thought too, with all the geopolitical concerns out there and crude oil prices ticking up, diesel prices ticking up here as well. I mean, if I need to get some more energy needs taken care of and get it on farm storage here to get through planting season, feels like that might be something to consider here as well.
Yeah,
just with the way things are right now, Jacob.
Well, you know, as we were going through the planting, we saw an upward tick. You know, crude oil has been in a stronger rally. I have not been overly aggressive getting that future needs done. Now, when you start seeing some type of a potential problem with when you start saying Iran and you start saying some of those Middle East countries that do produce a significant amount of oil, we know what's been happening in Russia. So some of those major oil producing countries, you know, if there's some sanctions or if there's some problems that we look there, I think it'd be very important for you, even though we're producing quite a bit of, you know, crude oil domestically, you know, it might not be a bad idea to go ahead and lock in that, you know, every need that you're going to have. So you don't have that surprise, you know, a couple of weeks from now, whenever they really push this thing higher and all of a sudden it's hitting you in the pocketbook because we didn't get it done. So I would say go ahead and lock in your needs through summer.
All right. Well, good thoughts there. Again, we're talking with Jacob Burks from agmarket.net here today on the show. Jacob's going to stick with us. We're going to talk livestock here in our final segment. Again, looking at some of the numbers on Tuesday. May corn down a half penny, 431. December corn down 2, 467 and a quarter. May beans 13 and a quarter lower, 1145. November down 8 and 3 quarters, 1158 and a half. May bean meal down 320 a ton, 335.30. May bean oil down 56 points, 44.91. Chicago wheat, July 2 and 3 quarters lower, 564 and 3 quarters. July Kansas City wheat, 2 and a quarter higher at 583. And Minneapolis spring wheat for July, that finished a little bit higher on the day as well. That was up a penny, 6.45. April live cattle up 120, 181.50. Feeder cattle April up 80, 240, 35. And May hogs up 40, 94.72. We'll be back with more analysis with Jacob Burks from agmarket.net here on Market Talk right after this.
Make sure to subscribe to the Market Talk YouTube channel. You can watch our latest interviews with top market analysts in the country, find bonus content, and much more. It's easy. Just go to youtube.com/@MarketTalkAg and hit the subscribe button. Or you can search for Market Talk Ag on YouTube.
If you miss an episode of Market Talk, you can listen back to the show anytime. Just search for Market Talk on your podcast platform of choice, and you can hear past episodes of the program on demand.
Bringing you the ag information you need. This is Market Talk. Now, back to Jesse Allen.
We are talking with Jacob Burks from agmarket.net here today on the show. Jacob, let's talk livestock. Again, a good day there on Tuesday. We got some positive things to talk about. Cattle, I was hoping, praying we'd get some follow-through strength on Tuesday from what we got on Monday, and we did. We got it. Good triple-digit gains. Talk to me about this cattle complex. Do you feel like we've maybe got some new technical support underneath this here after all this volatility?
Yeah, you're going to end up closing here today above last week's highs. You have that U-shaped formation where we found a little bit of stability. We're closing above the 10-day moving average. You definitely have that technical support. The charts look very, very happy now. It's even got a little smile on it at the bottom. So I think that's something that we can hang our hat on. I think the one thing that you focus on, like in that live cattle, what happened as we took that last dip, and as that market was decreasing, as the market's prices were going down, you saw open interest coming up. So there were new shorts coming into the marketplace. And so now as we've started to rally and we had 2 days in a row of positive trade, I think that was a good sign of when these new shorts that came into the market thought, okay, that's enough. We know there's not a lot of cattle out there. We got a cattle on feedery coming up on Friday. Maybe this is a good time to take some of our profits, step to the sidelines. And I really believe that's what we saw today with that upward tick.
Well, and too, with this cattle market, a lot of this volatility surrounding the news cycle with HPAI and dairy cattle and consumer worries seemed like that really is what drove a lot of this volatility recently, because there's a disconnect with what's going on in the countryside. I mean, cash trade has still been strong, out there in the sale barns and whatnot. It feels like a lot of the problem has been the psychological effect on the futures markets here in cattle, Jacob.
Yeah, it's so we've talked a little bit about that. I think last time I talked to you regarding the fact that you have higher weights, you have lower kills, but yet our cash price was really staying there. I mean, a lot of the lower kills number it has as a result of the lack of lean meat that we have in our freezer, all those the cows that we have not killed this year versus last year. So you've had those lower kills. You've had the higher weights on these cattle. But that was kind of a mind boggling thing of what was taking place there. So there were some things weighing on this market, and then all of a sudden cash did break here at the end of last week. I would say that type of setup, along with some demand fears such as war, such as the lack of disposable income, as the inflation continues to rally, those type of fears right there, if that's not enough at these levels, that I would say more than likely are at a very profitable level for most of the people that are owning the cattle, especially the cow calf guys. Those type of numbers, those type of ideas are a really good reason why you should be looking at getting some type of risk management, especially after a couple of days like this. I would say that you definitely want to take these moves like this and not get complacent. This is where complacency would not be your friend.
Hog trade too found a little bit of support on Tuesday. I know the pork cutout was down over $4 at midday. That's something that I'll watch going into Wednesday, but overall feels like hog futures are finding some footing again here. What's your thoughts on the hog market right now?
I think the hog market was totally technically traded here the last couple of days. A lot of the same reasons why we saw the cattle market is that, hey, this could be an opportunity to just take our profits. And the guys that got into the short position, we had came down here, tested the 50-day moving average in the hogs, had a good recovery off of it yesterday and some follow through today. It's just it's a good sign. The strength that was here in the hog market, I don't think has really left. I think something, like you said, the cutout, the cash price has come down. The dollar going up like it has probably been the biggest weight on top of the hog market. I mean, we depend and have become very reliant on these exports that have been going out. And we really need that to stem, the continued upward tick in the hog market.
Well, good stuff, Jacob. Let's wrap up our conversation today. Anything final? I look across a lot of the rest of the markets, outside markets quiet, cotton under heavy pressure Tuesday, gold higher again, dollar higher. There's things going on, but overall fairly quiet market day. I guess wrap this up for us. Anything final you want to share or reiterate with folks?
If I could put a message out there to all these fund, these fund investors, whenever you're wanting to go ahead and use the commodity market as a interest, as a inflationary hedge, would you mind going ahead and coming back and over to the corn and beans? That would really help us out a little bit. Because you got cocoa, you got everything else being really, really strong. But it's kind of flown out of the ags and into some of these other softs and into some of these other metals and stuff like that. I do feel like if this continued inflation talk, if we see a month where we're talking more interest rate hikes, that could be something else that helps us as we see, managed money come back into the grains, into the livestock to continue that inflationary hedge. So that's something that you kind of hope for, right? You don't plan for, you hope for that. And I think that as you plan, there's a lot of different things that you can do in stagnant markets, and there's a lot of strategies that can add some value. Now we talk the difference between hedging your product and then having some strategies that are value add. I mean, it's sometimes they're speculative, or sometimes they're just selling some options to take some time. But you have to do that with some risk management. And I think that's something that's key to this this marketplace, is trying to add some value.
Well, I know if folks have questions, maybe they're in the cab with the tractor, got some time that they can make a phone call or whatnot. I know they can reach you guys there at agmarket.net very easily. How can they get a hold of you, Jacob?
Yeah, just look us up there on the agmarket.net. Take a look at the About Us section. We can help you walk through some strategies, use the Profit Optimizer to look at some of the strategies that we talked about and show how that'll affect your bottom dollar.
I know as well, 844-4-AG-MARKET. With that, Jacob Burks with agmarket.net. Thanks for joining us here today on Market Talk. Appreciate it. We'll talk to you again soon.
Hey, thanks for having me, Jesse. Appreciate it.
And once again, good stuff there. Jacob Burks with agmarket.net joining us here today on Market Talk in what was mostly a quiet market day. A little bit of pressure in the soy complex. Quarter wheat firm. Cattle had a good day to wrap things up on Tuesday. Some good follow-through strength there. It was a down day in the cotton market. So a few things of note, but overall, again, pretty quiet here. We'll be watching, of course, geopolitical risks and more as we move forward. Coming up on tomorrow's Market Talk, we are going to have a chat, conversation with Mike Zuzulo from Global Commodity Analytics. I'm sure he'll have some thoughts on those geopolitical risks and what that could mean for these markets. We're out of time, though, here today on the show. Thanks for joining us for another episode of Market Talk. I'm Jesse Allen. Have a great rest of your day.